in the kitchen, daddy told another lie. Doctor said, better play it cool, boy. One more drink and you're probably gonna die. Hurricane farming down in the Gulf. Mandatory, but we never gonna leave. Papa's drunk, yelling at them storm clouds. Mother Nature got nothing on me. Shadows dancing in the moonlight. Waters rise, how long can I stay? Last rites painted on a tin roof. The waking man's got death. Helicopter flying high over here. Left behind ain't no fortune anymore. Gunshots echo through the city. Red lights coming across the ridge. Young men left behind in cold blood. Evil lurks neath the Danzig Bridge. Dancing in the moonlight, waters rise, how long can I stay? Last rites painted on a tin roof, the wicked man's got death. Daddy told another lie. Doctor said, better play it cool, boy. One more drink and you're probably gonna die.
August 29th by Rod Gator on the Hippies and Cowboys podcast. Rod just dropped a new record for Louisiana. It's available now. Go to rodgator.com and purchase that thing. Welcome into the podcast. You are listening to the Hippies and Cowboys podcast, and we are bringing you the best of the country music world like nobody else will tell it. And the Hippies and Cowboys podcast is brought to you by Workman's Relief CBD. Only the finest CBD products on the market at the most affordable prices. Workman's Relief wants to get high-quality CBD products in your hands at an affordable price, because we all work hard and we all deserve to reap the benefits of CBD. To learn more about CBD products and what they can do for you and to fill up your cart and try them out today, go to workmansrelief.com. And when you go to checkout, use our promo code exclusively for Hippies and Cowboys podcast listeners, HACCBD, for 15% off your entire order. Once again, that's a promo code HACCBD. We are also brought to you by Manscaped. Manscaped has the best men's grooming products on the market today. Manscaped engineered the ultimate groin and body trimmer by focusing on intelligent functionality and an incredibly comfortable grooming experience. Their fourth generation trimmer features a cutting-edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin safe technology. Wireless charging, it has a flashlight on it, and with our promo code HAC20, you can get free shipping and 20% off your order at manscaped.com. Your balls will thank you. And if you'd like to support us and what we're doing here at the Hippies and Cowboys podcast, you can go to patreon.com/hippiesandcowboys. And for as little as $1 a month, you can gain early access to any videos that we shoot with artists. You can ask questions to our guests. You'll find out who the next guest is on the podcast. There will be access to bonus podcasts that will not be posted to this platform. And there's an entirely different podcast with all of the Hippies and Cowboys gang featured on that podcast. And it is only available on Patreon. So you are only getting a small slice of the content here with this show and on social media. So go help us out on Patreon. Pledge any amount of money per month that you want, and you'll gain access to all that great stuff. You can also go to thehippiesandcowboys.com if you'd like to buy some merch from us. We got some new hats dropping very, very soon, so keep your eyes peeled. Thanks for tuning in to the show. We appreciate your support, and enjoy the podcast. All right, Rod Gator.
Yeah.
Welcome to the podcast,
man. Hey, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for hanging with us.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I've just been waiting now. You know, Four Louisiana's out, and we're thrilled about that. But I'm waiting for part three of the dancing videos.
Which one are you looking forward to? Oh, you mean just after my stroke in Whitewater Tavern, the part three of that?
No, of the like dancers of the night, or
Rhythm of the Night. It's a gritty, realistic portrayal of the male exotic, mm-hmm. you know, underground dance scene.
Yeah,
I mean, someone had to document that.
I heard that you're featuring one male exotic dancer in particular that I think the world is ready
to
see.
This is true. This one's a national episode, so it expands. Yeah. So we had an Austin episode, we have a Texas episode, now we have the nationwide. We're going nationwide. Mm-hmm.
I don't even think Garrett knows about that. That there's an Iowa fella getting featured in that potentially.
It's a twist.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
You haven't seen those?
No.
Oh my gosh, dude.
It's a series about male exotic dancers, and it just basically covers their lives, and I've released two episodes so far with an all-star cast of dancers.
Covers their lives in about 10 seconds. You know everything you need to know.
Yeah. Check it out after this recording. If you want to learn the ins and outs.
Ins and the outs. A lot of ins and outs.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, industry. What all goes in? Like, do you have a journal somewhere of all these video bit ideas?
And then, well, they just like, sort of...
Yeah, dude.
I mean, they just sort of come to me, and then if I have the capacity, I film it right then and there, but mm-hmm. usually I'll be like, you know, sitting around or driving around or something, and I'll think of something up, and then I'll get it made as soon as I possibly can.
Yeah,
it's kind of like song ideas. It pops up, and then yeah. I'm like, okay, let me do this as soon as I can.
Yeah, man. Well, you got props in there a lot of the time. I'm like, there's no way you just do those spur of the moment.
Yeah, I mean, I got those glasses from Goodwill for $2 that like pissed off fan was wearing. I was protesting my shows. Mm-hmm, right. I got those for about $2 at Goodwill. And the recent Little Rock stroking video, I got that at a Little Rock Goodwill. So, but some of them, I just own the clothes, so it's easy.
Shout out to Goodwill.
Yeah,
shout
peach bell bottoms. If you've seen the peach bell bottoms, I've owned those for 10 years.
That's a Goodwill find?
I lived in LA at the time. I got it at this vintage store in Hollywood.
Dude, nice. Those are some tight ass pants, man.
Thanks so much, dude.
I'm jealous. Appreciate that. But yeah, I just had I just envision that like your video bit process is the same as like constructing an album. Like you're up at like 3 a.m. and you're like scribbling out like, no, that won't work, you know, like dim lit candle.
Yeah, it's a lot more natural than that. I just store it in my head and then it's like, you know.
Nice.
I never really write anything down. I just kind of come up with it and then, I don't know. I used to do shit like that all the time when I was a teenager, you know. I'd like make my little movies and I had like my first editing software and I hadn't really fucked with that in like 10 years. Then all of a sudden, over the summer, I got back into it and I've never stopped.
Yeah, man. It kind of just popped up out of nowhere, it seemed like.
Yeah, it's like, oh, well, this is what it takes to get people to check my shit out. Okay.
Seriously, dude, it's a great fucking idea, man. It's like, I mean, the concept of it is really smart, man. It's a way to, I mean, people love it. They're hilarious, first of all. And it's like, like, why not? Why not engage with your fans and like,
yeah,
put some shit out there, make people laugh. And like you said, yeah, it's going to grab people's attention too.
Yeah, especially when you just got a large amount of ideas just brewing in my head all the time. It's like, plus it's instant reactions. I upload it and then people start reacting to it. It's not like when I make a recording and I gotta wait like a fucking year or something to get it out, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
There's one question that's been bugging me, and I know it's been bugging a lot of the listeners to this podcast as well, but it's not an alligator mask, Rod. It's a dinosaur. It's a T-Rex.
Well, that's the thing, dude. I asked for an alligator mask, and that's what they gave me. So I was like, is that all they have here? Or is this what's considered an alligator in the mask circle?
So I guess. Just,
yeah. Yeah, so my manager said. I was like, I don't know, man. He said it looked like a velociraptor. I said, well, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Hey, man. It works.
What's your monthly expenses bill on green paint?
Well, I've only gone through one bottle, so.
Oh, that's not bad.
It's pretty affordable. I just try to put green paint on the spots people can see. It's not like my ass is painted green or anything like that when I'm wearing jeans. But I just try to cover all the parts people can see.
Well, unnecessarily paint your entire body green and put clothes over it.
If I was full-blown method actor, I could paint my whole body and live outside for a day, but I ain't got there just yet.
Right.
I might.
Maybe one day.
We're not going to rule it out.
Don't rule it out, man. I'm just getting started with this shit.
Great, man.
Anyway,
For Louisiana is a great record too.
Thanks.
Not only are you the king of content, but you put out one hell of an album here last September 17th. Shit, like, dude, have you noticed? You know, do you really think that the, you know, fucking around with the videos and all that stuff and kind of creating this character online, and like, do you really think, I mean, have you noticed a significant difference releasing this one compared to the last one in the attention and all that other?
I have,
you know,
yeah.
Kind of the reception too, just.
Yeah, I have. It's, my last name was always real tough for people to pronounce. If you weren't from where I grew up, then there's no way you would know how to pronounce it. And I think it kind of handicapped me in some ways. Like, you know, people ask what your name is, and then there's no way they're going to be able to search that or, you know, remember that. So, Rod Gator might sound kind of ridiculous, but it's definitely memorable. And, you know, I think that helped a lot on that end. And then the content definitely helped a lot because, you know, people that I've never interacted with before, you know, I started interacting with. And, I have noticed a difference to answer that question for sure.
I can't help but notice all, like, I mean, obviously with the title For Louisiana, and it's a lot of like, you know, it's a very true to the heart album in that sense. But you seem to be getting quite a bit of a, you know, attention and buzz around the album from like within Louisiana also, which seems really cool. You know?
Yeah, that's been nice. You know, that's who I wrote it for at the end of the day.
Right. Yeah.
Was that really about it for like the name change? Was it really just a thing where you just thought it was going to be more memorable? Like, what?
Yeah, you know, that played.
Have
a
you
big
thought
part.
About Have you thought about a stage name before for all the? I mean for all these years.
I remember I was 21 years old, or maybe even 20, at this place in Hollywood at this bar, and I just started working on music, and I was like standing outside, and this girl was like, "Oh, you play music?" I was like, "Yeah." She was like, "What's your name?" I said, "Rob Melanson." She was like, "Dude, that's never gonna work. Like, you're gonna have to figure that out." And I was just like, that really came back to play, that drunken conversation like 13 years ago.
Wow.
But I got new man, I got new management, and they were really hard up on it too. And one night on Twitter, like earlier in the year or late last year, I was like, I want to be called Gator from here on out, just kind of fucking around, because the story is true that my dad did want to name me Gator, and my mom said, no way. So that actually is a factual story. So that kind of stuck with me, and I would kind of, you know, I'd bring that up a lot just because I thought it was a cool story. So yeah, that really came full circle too. And, you know, without the name change, I wouldn't have done the Rod Gator transformation video or any of that other crazy shit I started doing.
Also, we are everybody, I think I speak for everybody on this, we are very relieved to know that Rod Gator is safe and sound. And
yeah, that was scary for a minute there. Yeah. They were putting up signs around town and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's terrifying.
I saw some at our local Casey's up here, you know.
I'm glad they had it up there, because it was it was really terrifying.
Yeah, it was a national push. So, yeah.
I
think it
would have
scared some people in Canada if we put signs up, because there's no gators up here.
Yeah. They wouldn't know what was
missing gators a little. That sounds is kind of a cause for concern. So
something missing that they didn't even know was around. That's scary shit.
That's right. That's scary shit.
Oh, fuck, man. Oh, shit. I totally lost my train of thought.
You want to hear about the time I almost got shot during a music video shoot?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so it was like 2016. We were shooting this video for this song called Perry off this album Southern Gothic I put out. Mm-hmm. I don't know if y'all have seen the video, but it's kind of, I get wrapped up into this like dude and his little gang, and I get involved in like criminal activities. And there's this one scene where we all have like the pantyhose over our head, and we're robbing this Chinese restaurant. We got like, you know, prop shotguns and stuff. And so we shot that in Kansas City, and we told the guy who worked at the place when we showed up, it was after hours. The director was like, did you let the cops know we're going to be filming this? And he said, yeah, I did. So, you know, the first take happens. It's me and two other guys playing the robbers. We're like yelling, like, give us the fucking money. Like, I'm really getting into it, because this is like a fantasy thing for me, right? Mm-hmm. So we're doing this whole thing, and we're on like the fourth take, and the third guy, his job in the scene was to watch the door, like his character's like watching the door, and he started yelling. He was like, cops, cops. And I was like, oh shit, this guy is finally getting into character. You know, he'd been kind of quiet most of the time. I was like, this guy is fucking, he's going method all of a sudden. This is, now we're getting somewhere. And then he's like, no, cops. And I looked, and outside the door were four cops pointing guns at him. And they barge down the door and they point guns at me. They were like, everybody get the fuck down. So I was like laying on the ground, and I looked up and I just saw these like shoes running in. And the guy that was playing Perry, they like took a knee to him and put him down. And he's a big guy, so he said that's how he always gets arrested. And then we were, they sat us all up, and we still had our mask on and everything, our pantyhose, and we were handcuffed. And we were like, it's a music video. And they were like, still didn't think it was a music video. And then the like sheriff dude came in and was like, do y'all realize how close you were to getting shot and all this shit? And so they,
holy shit.
Yeah, they took off the guy that played Perry, his mask, and he has like face tattoos. They're like, oh, sugar.
Oh.
They took the other dude off, and they're like, okay. Then they took mine off, and my hair like fell perfectly in front of my face. And they were like, this is a video shoot. They're like, this guy ain't robbing anything.
This guy.
And then they were like, you know, I kind of went into Han Solo mode a little bit. I was like doing little quips. I was like, I think this is just a testament to our acting skills.
Yeah.
And thankfully laughed, but
they seen your face and they were like, this guy is not.
He's not robbing shit with that perfect hair falling on the face. Fucking ready for that close up.
Yeah.
But man, eventually they learned that it wasn't a bit. Eventually they were like, this is a music video, sure, you know. And then we kind of made this promise afterwards, the crew and stuff, like, we will never talk about this again. Because it's kind of like I know she did last summer scene or something. Like,
yeah.
We can't let anyone know about this because they were worried the video director would get in trouble, you know, because basically he kind of, you know, that he would take the fall for it. But obviously, the guy who worked there admitted, he's like, I didn't tell the cops y'all were shooting a robbery scene. So they thought it was a real robbery scene. People called the cops and were like, there's a store getting robbed. So I almost died.
At least you know it was convincing.
Exactly, dude. That's why I said that. I was like, I think, y'all know that acting was good as fuck. That's why y'all came in here.
I think you take those those clips from the cops coming in and you send it straight to Hollywood. I don't know
who.
Well,
here's what happened.
Like,
so when they came in,
Hollywood somewhere.
He took the camera and he turned it towards the wall. So there's no video of it. There was just audio of it. So we got high as hell that night and listened to the audio and we're just like, oh my God, this is nuts. It's like listening to a near-death experience. It was crazy, man. Like, I can safely say I know what it feels like to have four guns pointed at you.
Yeah, that's fucked. Holy shit.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Yeah, that's what they call, Mike, that's what they call outlaw country.
Outlaw, literally. Yeah. Yeah, four cops pointing guns at you.
Exactly.
You're
so,
fucking outlaw right there.
Exactly, dude.
Rod Gator the outlaw. Dude, I remember what I was going to say earlier. And I was going to see if you've ever listened or watched the movie The Other Guys with Will Ferrell.
Of course, yeah. That's a
Mark
really
Wahlberg.
Funny one. It looks like Garrett's frozen.
Yeah, it's because he's in Canada. It's pretty cold up there, so he gets frozen quite a bit.
Oh, my God, dude. Is he an ice cube?
He's an ice cube, man.
Look how he froze, dude.
Yeah, right mid-drink.
Oh, my gosh. We will
tell
us.
Now
I have no idea
us.
What just happened, dude.
Dude, you're still frozen, but then you're also not.
Dude, what just happened?
Dude, what kind of witchcraft is this shit?
My Zoom just crashed, and then now... Okay, so
anyways,
yeah, that happened.
We're talking,
sorry, guys.
Talking about the other guys. And Will Ferrell's, like, because he used to be a pimp. And his pimp name was Gator.
Yeah, so I didn't think about that until I posted now, it. Yeah, he's like, Gator don't take no shit.
Gator ain't never been about no playing anybody's shit, you know?
Yeah.
Gator's bitches
I forgot
better be
about
wearing
that.
Jimmies, you know? Yeah. You
exactly. Can say I forgot stuff. About that until, yeah, someone commented that and I was like, oh, damn. All right. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. So if you ever want to be a pimp, like, you got that role.
Well,
too,
that's what
like,
Rhythm
nailed.
Of the Night is, dude.
Rhythm of the Night. Exactly. Yeah.
I'm the overseer of the dancers. I make sure no one's getting weird. It's like McConaughey and Magic right. Mike or something.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I protect them.
Look, not a pimp. I just watch over them and
I watch
collect
over
their
them
money.
And I make sure everyone's getting paid.
Yeah, and then of course I take a cut of that. But you know,
yeah,
I'm not
it's different.
Pimp, though, yeah, it's different. Yeah.
Fuck, man. So, are you back living in Louisiana now?
No, I'm in Austin. I've been in Austin the last like 4 years.
Okay, and you were in L.A. before like
10 years, yeah.
L.A. or L.A.?
Los Angeles.
Los Angeles. Oh, whoa.
10 years in Los Angeles.
Dang.
Yeah, that's a long time, man. And you were doing music out there the whole time, and like you, I mean, tell us a bit about that like L.A. country
sure.
music scene.
Well, because... I moved out there when I was 8. Yeah, I moved out there when I was 18, almost 19, and it was for acting. My mom was a theater teacher, and I grew up doing acting. And when I was a teenager, I got involved in the like film world in Louisiana, which was really starting to boom. I almost booked a lead in a Lifetime movie when I was 17. I like met with the I met with the producers and everything.
Whoa!
I was this quarterback that somehow contracted HIV while doing ecstasy. So of course, it made zero sense. But it was called high school. It's called high school.
That's legit.
Positive.
That's what it was called, and that's what it
high
was
high school
about.
Positive.
You're shitting me.
No, I was so close to getting this part. And did you ever? There was a movie in the 90s called Brink. It was a Disney skate movie. Mm. And this guy who was like 10 years older than me decided he took interest in the role, and they gave it to him because he was like, you know, he was like a well-known actor, and I was just a kid from wherever, so.
They made the movie?
Yeah, High School Positive. You look it up on IMDb, it's real.
I'm Googling it right now. That's what the fuck? Okay, anyway, sorry. That's just...
Did it pop up?
That's wild. No, I can't find it. I'll have to look later, but...
I'm going to find it and watch it and report back.
I got to see this, man. But
so I moved. Anyway. So I moved to LA when I was 18, almost 19, and it was for acting, right? That's what I was always all about, acting and filmmaking and stuff like that. And I got my first guitar when I was 19. I didn't really know anyone in LA, so I saw a small circle of people I was in an acting class with. And so I started basically learning enough chords to be able to kind of structure something. And I started playing music after that. I was still doing the acting thing. I was in this terrible horror movie called Hollow Halls. They had to make a cast out of my chest. So I went to this special effects place and they made a cast. And basically, because at the end, my chest gets ripped open. I get eaten by these like zombie things.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, I was real pissed I didn't get that supporting actor Oscar nomination. Still That's pissed bullshit. About that.
Yeah, man.
But
it's rough.
I'm still looking for what That's this. That's crazy.
That.
Oh, so not it's only called, did it's, you get. It's not called High School Positive. It's called Girl Positive.
Girl Positive. That's even worse, Rod.
This is the summary. A popular high school girl finds out that a boy she slept with is HIV positive.
That's the whole summary.
That's the summary, That's yeah. The it's
movie.
Got
Oh yeah, here it is. Look, an HIV positive high school
kid. It's got 6.6 out of 10. It's pretty good reviews.
Yeah, an HIV positive high school student finds support from a teacher who is secretly living with the disease.
Guess who what student that was? That was my role. I was supposed to get that role. I've been tracking that guy's whereabouts for 15 years, the guy who took that role from me.
What? He's listening to this podcast right now, and he's just sunken down in guilt.
What you did. That was my big break, and you took it away from me. Now I'm stuck in the singer-songwriter world where I don't get paid shit.
Yeah, dude, I know... So I think the world now knows that, you know, when you got snubbed by Spotify, a dance montage is what helped kind of ease the pain. Did you also have a dance montage when you got snubbed by the Oscars?
I haven't discovered the technique of dancing out your emotions just yet. That would come many years later. That would come over the summertime. Mm-hmm. But it would have been very useful.
Yeah.
You find an abandoned shack, you put on something kind of 80s montage-y, and you just get it out. That's how you got to do it.
Footloose style.
Mm-hmm.
It was,
isn't that what movie that is?
Footloose. Hot Rod. He does a dance montage.
Yeah, Hot Rod's heavily influenced by Footloose. Also, the song I used in that montage video is from a movie called Rad, which was an 80s movie about motocross racers. Not motocross, BMX racers. Okay. So they race bicycles, and there's a montage where that song plays. So if you want to check that out.
Yeah.
Fun fact, Hot Rod was actually loosely based on your life.
It was, dude. People don't know the shit Gator. I went through.
Yeah,
I had that little cape on my back.
Mm-hmm. It says Rod. You need to do that. Like,
it's a good idea. That's
funny. Anyways. So
you just picked up music in L.A. just
Yeah,
you know,
so I was 19. I started listening to Hank Williams. I learned enough chords to be able to come up with my own stuff because, you know, he uses basic chords and I learned enough chords to start doing my own thing, and eventually I just started focusing on that. You know, I started playing around town, and there was no Grand Ole Echo yet. Grand Ole Echo is like the thing that really is kind of the hub of the alt country music scene in LA. That wasn't there yet. So I was playing at a place called the Cat Club and different places like that. And eventually I got into the East LA music scene, and it was cool. You know, you don't make the difference between a place like Austin and LA for music is that you don't make the venues don't pay you anything, really. Austin venues pay you good, and Austin also has HAM, where it's an organization that hooks up musicians with health insurance.
Oh,
yeah,
that's cool. Nice.
Yeah,
interesting.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, hey, let's segue into the second song we're gonna play, which is the title track. I do have a couple other questions about the album,
sure,
after the song, but. If we can segue into For Louisiana, yeah, our title or your title track, from that, if you want to intro that, and we'll play that for everybody, and yeah,
sounds good.
Tell us a little story about it.
Okay, so this song basically was spawned out of, you know, touring and the ups and downs of being in the music world and everything like that, and you know, having, you know, doubts and just everything that comes along with being a musician. I mean, it's such a stressful thing and nothing's ever certain in it. So it's a song all about that, which is, it's kind of ironic playing that song in, you know, in venues that are like basically empty and everything like that. It's kind of like meta, I guess you could say.
So, getting into the album a little bit, you had some pretty kick-ass features come in and play on the album with you. I was going to see if you could walk us through some of the people you had come in, because I know I was looking at the list. Maybe you posted about it later at some point, and I seen it. But man, there are some kick-ass people that came and joined you on the album.
Yeah, I got Lauren and Angie, the two girls that sing with the Black Pumas, and I got Jerron Marshall, who plays keys with the Pumas, but he actually played keys with me first. On Pinkville, I brought him in to play on the record, and Adrian Quesada, the producer and, you know, guitar player and producer of the Black Pumas, he took him and put him in the Black Pumas. But it was okay because he introduced me to the guy who's now my manager, who, you know, who's a fair trade.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. Yeah, that's an no even bad trade blood. For sure.
No. Yeah, the guy was managing Haze at the time and got me on those a big Haze run, and Haze got me to do two nights at Green Hall. It was a fair trade.
Shit, yeah. That's a good deal. It worked out.
Yeah, it did. But he's a great keys player, obviously. And
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I was just curious how that came to be. I knew there was had to be some kind of backstory, but yeah, seeing all the Pumas on there, that's pretty sweet. I got to see them for the first time this summer live. They came up to Iowa. So
yeah, they're cool.
Yeah, it's pretty kick-ass.
Yeah. I met Hayes when I was 21 years old at the Troubadour in L.A., and I was super nervous and kind of shy because I just loved his music so much. Mm-hmm. And I went up to him after the show. I was like, hey, man, I really love your music. And he was like, are you a songwriter? I was like, yeah. He was like, well, what are you doing living out here? I was like,
And you were super
I
nervous.
I told him about that on the tour. It was the story I would tell on stage. But, you know, eventually I would move away, obviously. But I love the guy.
Did that one hurt at all? You're all nervous to go up and talk to him?
It didn't
hurt.
He's
like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah. I mean, he had a point, but, you know, I didn't realize how valid the point was just yet.
Yeah.
Right.
Got to learn that one the hard way.
You do have to, I get that.
Yeah. Well.
So I noticed you had to go back, like, your album from 2014. I assume you had to go back and change the cover art.
Yeah. The label did that. Gator. They found the exact same font, I guess, and put Rod Gator on it.
Oh, really?
Because, you see, the next two records doesn't have any font, so that was easy.
Yeah, that was easy. I was going to say fuck, that sucks. You had to go back and change all that from the past.
Yeah, it's kind of a weird.
I didn't even.
You told me last night you were gonna tell us a story about doing Poncho and Lefty with Steve Earle and Jamie Johnson.
Yeah, so I got asked to do this Leonard Peltier
story time with your crazy
story
Uncle
time
Rod.
With crazy
was your
Uncle
exact
Rod.
Words.
Gather around, kids. I got asked to play this benefit for Leonard Peltier in Dallas, and Jamie Johnson was on it, Steve Earle was on it, BJ Thomas was on it, Jesse Dayton was on it. So I was just like so pumped because, you know, Steve Earle was just like, after I got into Hank Williams and learned the chords, then I started getting into like Steve Earle and Townsend and those people.
Yeah.
And so I was really big into Steve Earle, you know, and so that was, I met him backstage before we started, and Connie, who's Willie Nelson's ex-wife, who I'm really close with, she's the mother of Paula and Amy Nelson. She's the one who got me on the show, and she was like, Steve, this is Rod. He was like, oh yeah, I've heard of him. I've heard his music before. I was like, oh fuck, all right. So I just tried to kind of play it cool during that, and then I went and did my set. The backing band was all of John Moreland's band, so it was like John Fulbright John Fulbright, all these badass dudes. And during my set, I looked to the left side stage and I just saw Steve Earle standing there just watching my set. And I was like, holy fuck, this is just too epic. And so then I got off stage and he was like, great job, man. I was like, oh, fuck yeah. And so then Connie was like, it was time for us to go. We're all staying at the same hotel. And she was like, hey, Rod, can you drive Steve Earle to the hotel or whatever that we're all staying at? I was like, oh, for sure. I was like, oh, fuck. So I went outside and I had a little Yaris at the time. And I was like cleaning it out. I was throwing shit all over. And then he came in the car and we were driving and we just started talking. It just got... He had talked. I brought my dad backstage, and him and my dad talked for over an hour. Like, they really hit it off. He was telling my dad about all his marital issues, and they were really hit it off hard. But we were driving in the car, and one of the first things I brought up to him, I was like, "I love in the Steve Earle biography. Whenever the prologue is like, you get this record deal renewed." And they're like, okay, we're going to fly you to New York City. It's like $1 million deal. And you're like, okay, just give me 100 so I can get an airline ticket. And instead of buying the airline ticket, he buys heroin. And he was like, yeah, man, that all really happened. That happened. That all happened.
Yeah.
And we were driving, and he's just like talking about this and that. And, you know, I was still smoking weed back then. I was sober. I wasn't drinking alcohol anymore. But I've got 6 years no alcohol. I had to stop smoking weed, too. But I was like, yeah, I still smoke weed. And he was like, this is kind of sad in hindsight. He was like, yeah, my son's doing that too. Like, he quit drinking, but he's smoking weed and I'm worried about him. That's very sad in hindsight.
Yeah.
But we got lost at one point because the roads were closed. And he told me this interesting thing about Whataburger. We kind of bonded over our love of like spicy ketchup and all this shit. And how a condiment is like a big sale of the entire place. But he was like, yeah, when I was a kid, my dad would just get, for my brothers and sisters, he would just get burgers with everything on it. And then each kid could take off what they didn't want. I was like, oh, that's a smart idea. He told me about how his grandma was a theater teacher and how he liked acting and how he got brought on to do that series, The Wire. That was his first acting gig. And then eventually we pulled up to the hotel and he got out and he was like, hey man, tell your dad it was nice meeting him. I was like, yeah, he's pretty cool, right? He's like, totally cool. I was like,
badass.
Yeah, that's kind of one of those stories. That's one of those stories I go back to in my mind when I'm feeling kind of like down and out. Or, you know, I'm playing to two people in a venue. One's the bartender, one's the door guy. And I just kind of go into that place in my mind where I look side stage and just saw Steve Earle just standing there, like, watching me play. One of my heroes. Just, that's something that, you know, I store in the back of my mind and I pull out often, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
That's pretty damn cool. Did you kind of come to country music late then, being in LA? And
yeah,
like
I did. I got 19, into, like. Yeah. Hank Williams was when I really got into it, when I was 18 and I saw the Last Picture Show. And my family actually had a connection to Hank Williams. My grandpa saw Hank Williams play the Louisiana Hayride. And the story goes that he was at this bar, my papa was, my grandpa with his friend, and Hank Williams showed up at like 1 a.m. into the bar, and my pawpaw's friend was real drunk and was like, I'm going to ask him to yodel. And my pawpaw was like, dude, don't fucking do that. And so he went up to ask Hank Williams to yodel, and Hank Williams did yodel, and then they just hung out for hours. That's the legend, at least.
that's pretty awesome.
That's the legend.
So the story goes.
Well, hey.
So this segment has been story time with Crazy Uncle Rob.
Yeah, I hope y'all enjoyed it.
Here's that.
And now.
The captor's voice.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It comes out every now and then when I least expect it. I forget all these people live in my mind.
Mm-hmm. It's the daddy doesn't know. What daddy doesn't know, don't hurt daddy.
Yeah. That was a surprise hit. Kevin Marby hit me up and was like, this is your best video yet.
Dude, it was fucking perfect. Okay. Anyways, we are officially entering the rapid fire segment of the podcast.
I got some new ones.
All right.
I got some new ones that I haven't asked yet.
Let's start us off with a new one.
Okay. All right. I think you'll have a great answer for this. If you could have any brand whatsoever sponsor you, what brand would you want to represent the Rod Gator brand?
Levi's.
Or what? Levi's?
Levi's.
They've been around forever. You can count on them.
Head to toe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
Levi's.
Bad one is. He came up with that very quick. You've thought about
this. I've thought about it.
My dream sponsor is, of course, Manscaped. And
yeah, that's a pretty good one too.
Yeah,
that's a pretty good one.
That's right.
Our show is brought to everybody by Manscaped, so
that's cool.
Yeah, little plug.
Good answer there, Mike.
What is one thing you will never do again?
One thing I'll never do again. I don't know, man. That's a tough one.
Fake Robitaille.
This is where my mind automatically went to. But then I know this isn't true. This is just me kind of, you know, being kind of bummed out about the state of things. Mm-hmm. If I had a second chance at life, I'm not sure if I would go down the... I'm not sure if I would pursue what I pursued. But then deep down, I know that is not true. Because if I didn't pursue what I pursued, I would have just spent the rest of my life wondering why I didn't and what it would have been like if I had. So even the ups and downs and all the terrible shit I went through and put myself through, it's all worth it in the end. So if there's something that I wouldn't do again, it would be agree to do a Red Dirt Radio promo circuit.
Interesting.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, I had to do this Red Dirt Radio promo thing. They were like, we're going to get your songs on Red Dirt Radio. I was like, oh, okay. So I drove down from California, and I went to these stations, and it was just, it was the worst of the worst. Like the guy with the, you know, bad goatee and the glasses, kind of like that character I play. He's like, all right, tell me why you wrote this. And then he would press record and then just text on his phone. I'm like, man, this is the fucking weirdest.
Shitty dude.
So I would have put my foot down and been like, no, I'm not doing that because I don't know nothing about that world or anything. I don't really think I fit in. So, you know. I mean, shit, dude, there's tons of things I wouldn't ever done again, but I can't talk about in a podcast.
Hey, man. Yeah. Don't get yourself in trouble. Yeah. We can, but you can tell us whatever.
Yeah.
What's, all right, we talked about thrift stores earlier. What's the coolest thing you've ever got at a thrift store?
Yeah.
I think those peach bell bottoms, because in the end, they came back into play. I was able to pull them out the closet and make that video and tell people to pre-order the record. And supposedly, it led to some pre-orders. So I think that the peach bell bottoms are really the holy grail at the end of the day.
Nice.
Did they put that in the little notes when they ordered the record? Just like, this was, you know, this is for the bell bottoms.
Thanks, Peach Bell Bottoms. XOXO. Big kiss, little kiss.
Oh, fuck.
What is the best fast food chain?
I mean, probably from living out in California, I always have a soft spot for In-N-Out, but there's a place in Austin called P. Terry's that's real good. It's just a little more kind of like, I don't know if healthy is a word, but it's definitely on the fresher side. P. Terry's in Austin.
I've never been more disappointed by a restaurant than I have been with In-N-Out.
Well, I hear that a lot. You know, if it's not your thing, it's not your thing. That's okay.
Yeah, that's true. I think it's the fries.
It's okay.
Okay, thanks.
Yep.
What's the grossest thing you've ever seen somebody eat like it was normal?
I wasn't really grossed out about it at the time, but when I was a kid, I seen my aunt eat a duck heart. A goose heart.
Ugh. A goose heart. Why?
Yeah, it doesn't sound
good. This is something the Cajun people did. Cajun people don't waste any part of the animal. So I was sitting there and I watched her eat the heart of the goose.
Did she cook it?
I think it was cooked, yeah. I think because it's like a big, you know, gumbo soup thing. So I think it's all kind of like rice and gravy, like it was cooked. But yeah, she ate it.
Okay, gotcha.
One time I was eating this rice and gravy at my papa's house, and it kind of had a weird, kind of like battery acid taste. Something was off about it. And then my uncle was like, oh, that's debris. That's all the insides of the cow's stomach.
That's disgusting. Like,
well, that's why that tastes fucked up.
Yeah. Damn. That's something you're just better off not even knowing.
Yeah.
I was curious because, like, I don't know. You always hear about, like, some people, like, their first deer kill or something, they'll take a bite out of the heart, like ceremonially.
Right.
I wasn't sure if it was one of those situations or not, but
well, that'd be kind of badass.
Yeah. My dad, when I, cause I got my first deer when I was,
Pretty hardcore.
I was in like fourth grade and my dad was like, yeah, you have to take a bite out of the heart now. And he was joking. Like he wasn't going to make me do it, but I didn't know it was a joke until like,
you did it?
I mean,
did you do it?
No, I didn't do it, but like, they had it, like,
you
we were cleaning
that
the deer,
had
and they had
to.
The heart, and I was like, I'm looking at it like, I guess I got to take a bite out of this. I was mentally prepared
metal
to do
as
it.
Fuck, dude, if you just ate it, and you were like, it tastes good. Thanks, Dad.
They're like, you only needed to take one bite, Mike. You didn't have to eat the whole thing. And I'm like,
arr. I think that's pretty badass, you guys.
Oh, fuck. You got one more, Mike.
Let's go with the television theme. Here, if you could, well, if somebody were to play you in a movie, what actor would you want to play you? I was going to ask if you wanted, if you would play a role in a movie or TV show, what movie or TV show would you be in? But we, of course, know that that is now girl positive, so that would be a little redundant.
Well, actually, it would be Buffalo Bill in Silence of the Lambs.
You would want to play him? Mm.
That's my dream role.
Dude,
wow.
That's
but
like,
if I had someone to play me, per yeah. se, I'm not sure who I would choose. Maybe an unknown. Maybe they do a nationwide search.
I could see like Rob McElhenney.
Who's that?
He plays Mac on It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, that would make sense.
Yeah.
You know, someone.
I get similar vibes.
Yeah.
He looked like similar too. Like not like carbon copy, but like.
It, close enough. Fit, in the I movies, think. It just has to be just close enough.
Right, right. Yeah. But, dude, if you playing Buffalo Bill is perfect because it's like.
I basically, like I kind of did it in that Rod
that's
Gator
like,
video.
Exactly. Yeah, like, that's exactly what I'm picturing. Like,
I had the same Buffalo song and everything. And,
yeah, yeah.
It puts the lotion on its skin.
Exactly. I just wanted all y'all listeners to know that. Mm-hmm. You know what I've thought before? I was like, did that guy have trouble getting a date after making that movie? After playing that character?
I don't know. I'd imagine he wore different clothes and was maybe not as recognizable.
That's
in
true.
Public.
That's a good point.
I don't know. Maybe he just walked around in a robe all the time. <It's> like, I'm the guy from the movie.
Nipples pierced.
Yeah. You never know.
Awesome. You never know, dude.
All right. Well, is that the last of the rapids? I think
yeah,
so.
You made it through the rapid fires. We made it through
story time. I like those
questions.
Time. They were good.
Thanks, man.
Yeah. Yeah, not bad. Thanks. Yeah, thanks.
It was fun. well, before we let you go, why don't you plug, where can everybody find you on social media? TikTok. I know, for the record, I feel like I have commented or messaged Rod many times on TikTok.
Thank you.
Just confused as to why he doesn't have more followers. So,
dude, that's the story of my motherfucking life. Great reviews and empty rooms. An autobiography by Rod Gator.
Right. So, first, I mean, obviously check out the rest of the album for those listening, but also go find that fucking TikTok account because it is amazing. But where can everybody find you on social media and where can they buy your
it's under Rod Gator Music, so like the Instagram's at Rod Gator Music and all of them are going to be Rod Gator Music. I tried to make it Rod Gator TV, but my management didn't think that was cool. I didn't think it would work. I thought it was pretty cool.
That'd be funny.
And then you're ripping across the South. I see you got Alabama, Georgia, and a show in New Orleans coming up, back to Texas, little run coming into October.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got some dates coming up, and then do an opening run with the Super Suckers.
Oh.
So, you know, it's weird touring right now. It's very strange out there, you know, but you got to do what you got to do. I mean.
Oh, yeah, man.
Well, hopefully people listening in the South there can catch one of those shows and
get out there and see a show.
Fill those rooms up and be Rod's Steve Earle watching over.
Yeah. Yes, that's right. Well, shit, man. Thanks for doing the podcast. This was fun, dude.
Yeah, and thanks for having me, man.
We will leave everybody with what did we decide on chicken for the last hawk. Song, Mike?
I know we're gonna really give them the chickens, the chicken hawk, man.
Give it to them. Chicken hawk, dude.
Yeah.
Rock it.
Hey, man. Thanks for coming on. It's great chatting with you and hearing all the stories behind Rod Gator. That's it's a treat. But thanks. we'll let you intro Chicken Hawk. And yeah, thanks again for coming on. Thanks everybody for listening. Listeners, we'll catch you next time. And Rod, you're always welcome back.
Hey, thanks, man. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Anytime. Now, I know from your videos that there is, at least one person out there that's anti-Chicken Hawk. But if you want to tell the story behind the song and maybe...
Yeah, you know. Chicken Hawk is basically just, you know, fuck you to the man, you know? The man sent a lot of my friends off to war after high school, and a lot of them aren't the same. So it's a fuck you to the man.
Lord knows they never will.